You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. The reports from Asia. China on Monday expressed outrage at President Joe Biden's apparent break from America's prior policy of strategic ambiguity, in quotes, regarding Taiwan, blasting the president's assertion that the U.S. would militarily defend the island nation if Beijing invaded. Gordon, what is strategic ambiguity that the foreign ministry is protesting?
Strategic ambiguity is the American policy of telling neither Beijing nor Taipei what we would do in the event of military hostilities in the Taiwan Strait.
Therefore, the president's remarks at this point would seem to stretch strategic ambiguity. We go to our colleague, Steve Yates. Steve is in the Middle East, he's in the Gulf and in Dubai. He is chair of the America First Policy Institute's New China Policy Initiative. Steve, the remarks by the president in these last hours, the foreign ministry in Beijing has protested. The strategic ambiguity policy, is it retired? Has it already been recognized as no longer applicable? We just maintain it as a debating point. Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. The one party in the three-party arrangement of Beijing, Taipei, and Washington that has never practiced strategic ambiguity is Beijing. Beijing has been absolutely consistent and clear throughout that Taiwan already belongs to them, that they reserve the right to use force at a time and circumstance of their choosing, and that Washington, Taipei, and other capitals must accept their policy that gets summed up in the words one China principle. There's been no ambiguity from Beijing from day one of the People's Republic, really, with regard to that position. And it's gotten more emphatic over time. There have been various American presidents who've dabbled in common sense, from George W. Bush in 2001, saying we would do whatever it takes to defend Taiwan. And President Joe Biden has three times said that we've made a commitment, and if attacked, we would defend Taiwan. We would help Taiwan. So we have really a battle between the president and his staff, who have walked him back three times in making this common sense declaration.
Gordon, you have a question for Steve.
Steve, what do you make of the White House three times walking back President Biden's clear statements that the United States would defend Taiwan?
I think it's exceedingly unfortunate because Beijing just seizes upon whatever it sees as a weakest link on the other side. And under normal circumstances, they would respect hierarchy and they would expect that what a president says goes. And they'd actually be kind of concerned if a president was leaning forward. But they get this constant reassurance from career people or career appointees, people who seem to come with every Democrat or every Republican administration, that they're in fact in charge of policy, not the president. And so Beijing is not deterred by this. Taipei is not assured by this. And worst of all, I think Japan has been increasingly clear in the clarity side of where to come down. And I think it's bad for that alliance.
You know, Steve, this is a constitutional issue. Under the U.S. Constitution, the U.S. president makes foreign policy, not some anonymous White House official who then contradicts the president. And as you said, this contradiction has occurred three times. This is an issue that I think that we should look at in terms of who makes foreign policy and who makes foreign policy in the Biden administration.
I completely agree. And one would have thought, with all of the tumultuous experience of that exact question during the Trump years, with deep state actors and two impeachments, people from Congress to staffers in the administration and career civil servants and foreign service officers, all speaking of their own accord as if they declared what U.S. policy was, you would think, having lived through that calamity, that it would be clearer now. And we were told the adults were coming back into charge. This, I think, is exceedingly dangerous weakness. So I think the mixed communications messages are a problem, but also the exclusion of Taiwan from this new Indo-Pacific Economic Pact is a substantive signal of weakness that doubles down on, I think, the wrong signals to Beijing.
The president's remarks in Tokyo and the news from Tokyo is also suggestive. U.S. President Joe Biden announced the launch of the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework, which includes a dozen Indo-Pacific countries designed to provide a counterweight against Chinese economic clout in the region. The list is long, but I'm looking through it. Australia, Brunei, India, Indonesia, Japan, South Korea, Malaysia, New Zealand, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam. I do not see Taiwan. Was that ever a consideration, Steve?
Well, it should have been a consideration. Taipei certainly asserted its extreme interest in getting in at the start of this new pact. It's unclear what this pact really is. Is it a new round of trade negotiations like TPP, or is it something else? But what is very, very clear, especially post-COVID, that the whole world should be very sensitive to where supply chains are coming from, China's malign influence over supply chains. And they should understand that from semiconductors to other advanced chips, Taiwan is a majorly important part of the supply chain. This is not just about morality and standing for democracy. There should be some hardcore economics to include Taiwan in this kind of pact.
Yes, last time I checked, if we absent Taiwan from planet Earth, our chips are out of luck. They're the high end, right, Steve?
We lose whatever is a smart device. We're just left with devices. And so we don't have a lot of what has made modern life exceedingly efficient and easy for most of the world. And it's an unforced error. There is no reason for this pact to have left Taiwan out. This is an example of establishment policy conceding to Beijing without them having to even protest.
Gordon, you have a question.
Steve, there's one Taiwan company, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, that by itself makes 92% of the world's made-to-order chips. Americans design the world's most sophisticated semiconductors, but we make none of them, zero. The only two companies do, TSMC and Samsung in South Korea. So I think you're absolutely right. Taiwan is critical to the world's technology sector.
Yeah, it is the case. And I think outside of the United States, a lot of our allies have sobered up to this reality, which is why they are increasingly clear about moving away from this policy of ambiguity. They see that ambiguity did not deter Russia. They know that ambiguity does not deter Iran. And now by sad experience, they know that ambiguity doesn't really stop the CCP from running over freedom in Hong Kong or increasing aggressive postures in other areas. It just seems to be the establishment mind meld in Washington that is the slowest to accept and build upon this reality.
Steve, Gordon tells me there have been additional provocations in and out of the Taiwan air defense zone. Is there any change in pattern? They send a ship, they send an aircraft, they send a large bomber. Are they rinsing and repeating Beijing, or is there something new?
Well, based on what I've seen, they have increased the mix of the capabilities that have gone in the vicinity of Taiwan. I think most recently there was a bomber that went in the vicinity of Taiwan, not just the run-of-the-mill fighter jet that is tempting a midline by crossing in close. And of course, they encroach on these lines by air and by sea, on the surface and submarine. And the only way to push back against it is to increase U.S. and allied freedom of navigation moves. I think that our allies are ready, willing, and able to do that. The question is the United States prepared to apply the necessary resources for this? And I think this is a big question when we've committed so much materiel and money to the European contest with Russia.
The quote from the president's press conference in Tokyo, a reporter asks, are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that? The president answered, yes. Steve Yates, chair of the America First Policy Institute's new China Policy Initiative, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.